Hey everybody, welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting your own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share the void with somebody else that might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach. And just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley. With me, as always, is what? David.
Do you like, just biting like the last three sentences were like slower and slower and slower. I'm like, is he bored? Is he done? Is he tired? He's mad because he fucked up.
I'm mad because I messed up.
Did you watch my Monday Motivational yesterday?
No, I saw it come through. I have not had time to watch it.
I sometimes I'll have takes and outtakes and, you know, have to redo it. Well, Janine, I was halfway through and it was going really good and she called me and I didn't start it over. I just answered the phone.
Yeah.
And I was like, normally I edit this stuff out or I just start over. And I was like, not today. Not today.
We'll leave it in.
I fucked up. It's over. Yeah. Move on. Like, who cares?
So, you want to hear my fuck up for the day?
Of course. Anytime you, like, I take a little bit of personal satisfaction when others screw up. So yes, give it to me.
So, We're doing this. We're wrapping up yesterday and today. We're wrapping up a big sewer job.
Okay.
Like $40,000 job.
Do you end up having to go into the street with that?
No.
Okay.
No.
You can tell me about it later.
It is one of the flatter sewers I've ever installed, though.
That shit makes me nervous.
I know. It makes me a little
nervous.
How
long is it?
It's 72. We installed 72 feet of pipe.
Minimum fall on it.
Unfortunately, we are less than an eighth of an inch per foot of slope.
Woo.
So we are not.
We
are not a 16th. Like if you were a 6-inch pipe, you could be a 16th. We're not a 16th. We're like a 12th.
A 12th. All the plumbers that listen to this are like, "Yeah, man, he's getting it down to the nitty gritty." And I'm just thinking, who gives a shit?
We had to use a laser to do it. So
that's brutal.
Yeah.
Like
that's
when
how
you're
little
getting
fall we had was we had to use.
You're
gonna
put 3-gallon toilets in her house?
No, she should be good. So essentially her sewer before had like a big 1.5-foot belly in it for 52 feet.
That's a big belly.
Yeah, the camera was way underwater for 52 feet. And then it got pretty steep after that.
Yeah.
And so camera went underwater right when it went out of their house. And so we told them we're going to have to replace well over 52 feet of pipe to get you in. Well, at 72 feet, we ran into water main, 2 water meters, 2 water services, a tree, and a host of irrigation lines. And so it's like, okay, the price is going to go up if we have to go beyond this point. And
yeah.
And so we gave them the options of like, you're looking at like $60,000 if we go across the street, or you're looking at $40,000 if we stop it right here and give it a 12th of an inch per foot slope.
Ugh.
And she's like, what would you do? And I said, I'm pretty confident that a 12th of an inch is going to be fine. You got brand spanking new pipe in there. So we went with that.
How old was she?
She's probably in her 60s. The sewer we took out was ABS, and it's only ever clogged on her twice.
Oh, that should be all right. I worry about elderly customers and with plumbing. Like, and I don't...
Being perceived that they're taking advantage of?
No. Like, I know they're not using a lot of water.
Oh,
because they're stingy.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They don't do as much laundry.
Yep.
You know, they're not out... Like, they're not having to wash 8 loads of work clothes every Friday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And flush that stuff out. So I worry about like...
We call that little old lady syndrome.
It's a real thing.
Yeah. Their sewers get so plugged and backed up because they don't use enough water for it to even back up.
Yeah.
So
like I've seen some that are pretty steep and still they're clogged up just because they literally don't use water.
Yeah. Just don't
it's
use
just,
enough.
It's a real thing. Like, hey, sweetheart, I love you. Take a bath every day. Like, what are we doing?
Right.
Like, well, so, water's expensive. Yeah,
so as we're wrapping up this job.
Sorry.
You know, all the
tangent?
Yeah. All the gravel that we put in the hole, we're compaction backfill. We don't usually compaction backfill these, but this one we are because we had a driveway that we had to cut across and we had to put the driveway back.
Gotcha.
And so we don't want any settling under the driveway, compaction backfill, everything else. And so since we're giving them like pretty much final grade on this one, we have spoils to haul off. You know,
okay.
All the amount of gravel that we put in the bottom of the ditch and the pipe that we put in the bottom of the ditch gets related to the excess spoils. And
of course.
Got my little dump trailer, my 7,000-pound dump trailer.
Yeah. which is handy as shit. I might need to borrow it, by the way.
It's handy. It's tiny, but it works.
Yeah, it works.
And so I run it out there, fill it with dirt yesterday, and got home. Like, traffic was real bad, so I didn't get home in time to dump it at the dump. And so I just...
Yeah, they only let you pull in. Yeah, like 4 or 5.
And it was going to be like 4:15 before I could get there. Yeah. So,
not a big deal. Keep it at the house.
Yeah, right? Put it at the house, hitch back up to it this morning, and take it to the dump. Well, we were pretty sure that I overloaded the trailer. Like, when I say I mean, I'm directing our excavator guy.
You're like, nah, it's fine. Yeah, fucking load it up,
bitch. Keep putting it on there. I want to make this in 3 trips. Keep putting it on there. And so it was indeed overloaded. The cylinder was not strong enough to lift it.
Oh, shit. Here we go.
And so I'm like, ah, crap. Well, where you dump dirt at the city dump, it's kind of a ledge. Like, you dump it at the edge of the ledge, and then they'll either push it over the ledge or they just undercut the ledge and fill their buckets that way, right?
Yeah.
And they use the dirt for the landfill. And so I'm like, well, crap, I can't dump it. Maybe if I back the trailer over the edge of the dirt ledge.
Oh, God.
And it's not like a cliff. I mean, it's kind of a cliff, but
it's probably a big dirt 45 degree grade on it.
Well, more than that.
You think it's more than that?
Yeah. And I'm like, well, the trailer doesn't weigh shit when it's empty. So, like, I could back the trailer all the way over this edge. It's not going to pull my truck down the hill because my truck weighs so much.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to pull my truck down, but if I back the trailer over the edge, maybe some of the dirt will fall out, and then it'll be at a better angle to where now it might actually lift.
Yeah, it's soft dirt. My truck won't sink in that.
Yeah, no big deal.
So is that where we're going? Because that's immediately what I would think.
I go to back it over the edge, and I didn't go fast enough, and the edge gave way, and all the dirt collapsed underneath the trailer wheels. And next thing I know, the trailer's just sitting on its frame. And I'm like, well, now I'm fucked because now I can't back up anymore. I can't pull forward because the trailer's on its frame. I'm like, well, crap.
You
know,
you haven't pulled a Smedley in a while.
Yeah.
You were due.
So I put an APB out on our company group text and I'm like, somebody needs to bring me a shovel. And so John, one of our plumbers, comes up and he brings me a shovel and I'm like,
did he just hand it to you and then stand there and watch you dig?
Yeah, no, he didn't.
But he shows that's what up. I'd have done. I'd been like, here you go.
He shows
Let me
up
know
and
when
I'm
you're
like,
done.
Hey boss, you know how you said don't fuck anything up today? Can we start that tomorrow? Because today's fuck up's kind of already penciled in.
That is gold. I love it.
Scoop some dirt out of it. I love it. Got it to dump. Pops right back out of it. Like, it popped out like I knew it would.
Yeah.
But it
How
just
much
needed,
did you have to shovel out of it? A lot?
Quite a bit. Like the front foot and a half of it. So.
And if you want some cardio, shoveling gravel or dirt.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
It was good cardio. Dude, I did it 3 times today.
It'll wear you out.
Yeah, because I ran 3 trips with that. That trip and then 2 more. Overloaded it all 3. So I knew the other 2, like, I'm going to have to scoop the front of this out, but it's what it takes to get it done.
Man,
we have to do that with gravel sometimes. We'll fill that thing with gravel and it gets too full and you have to...
How many pound is it?
So the trailer's rated for 7,000 pounds. The trailer itself weighs 2,000 pounds. So it's really only have a 5,000 pound payload. And it depends on where you put it in the bed.
Yeah.
Because if you stack it towards the rear, you're fine. However, it drives scary as shit.
Yeah.
If you put all that weight in the rear, that trailer is so short. I pulled out, this was like 2 or 3 months ago. We had to re-slope a driveway. And the driveway was sloped, like bringing a whole bunch of water to this customer's house, and it was causing them leakage issues. And so we were like, well, let's just cut out this 10x10 section of driveway and pick that corner up next to your house. And now all the water will slope away from your house instead of towards it.
Yeah.
And so we ended up doing that. And we put it back in concrete and then had their whole driveway resealed. But in doing that, I took out 10x10 by 4 inches of asphalt.
So that's heavy.
100 square feet, 4 inches thick of
asphalt.
That's heavy. And we threw it in the trailer. And it was like, you know, big chunks that we're just carrying by hand. So we threw them all on the back.
Yeah.
And Danielle was with me. She was riding around with me this day. And we pull up on the highway and I look over at her. I'm like, you got your seatbelt on? She says, yeah. And I'm like, I'm going to try something real quick. I want to see how this trailer behaves. Like, I'm going to intentionally try to get it to sway and just see how it behaves. That fucker got out of control on me. And I'm like,
I love you. It's almost like you do it intentionally.
Well, it's kind of like as kids, you go do donuts in the parking lot to learn how to drive in the snow.
Yeah, and then we fucking grow up and we realize, oh, this is going to sway. Maybe I shouldn't fucking do that.
Well, the truck's got anti-sway control and, you know,
whoopity-doo.
It worked. Next thing I know, like,
did it take over? Did it just be like,
I get it to sway a little bit? And she was like, wow, that seemed to happen really quick. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do it one more time just to just to see. And I do it one more time, and all of a sudden, it like kicks out to the left and then snaps back to the right. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And then next thing I know, the truck's just going brr, 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 yeah, brr, yeah. As it's like putting brakes on individual corners by itself.
Yeah.
And then the dash lights up all the colors.
Take your hands off the wheel. Yeah. Jesus, take the wheel. Yeah. Just the truck's doing its thing.
Yeah.
What does it matter with you?
So,
I love you, but you just do some of the dumbest shit.
As soon as that happened and the truck regained control and everything else, as soon as that happened, she looked at me and she's like, can you not do that again? And I'm like, I got one more thing I got to do. I said, I'm going to slam on the brakes and shift that load to the front so this doesn't happen anymore. So I did. I slammed on the brakes and clunk. The whole load comes to the front and now we're fine.
Oh, you got two boys about to be driving. And
One is. One just drove the boat to the lake.
I mean, like gone for extended periods of like you should be worried because he's just like you.
Yeah, I know.
He's all prim. This is exactly how you were when we were kids. All nice. Parents are like, oh, Mitch is an angel, this and that, blah, blah. And then he left and was a completely different fucking person.
And Mason, smart enough to get away with it.
Mason is the exact same. Here, he's like, yeah, Dad, okay, yeah, uh-huh, yep, great kid, got good grades. Right, and then he leaves and you know that.
So
kids of terror.
One of his buddies just got his full-on driver's license, right?
Oh, shit.
And so they go out with him quite a bit, and he's driving.
Yeah. It was I was the first one to get ours. And so, like, my car was always packed full of idiots.
Yeah. And so, like, we'll text him, and we'll be like, you know, when are you going to be home? And we never, like we always work with him on a come-home time, right? We never, like, you have to be home by this time.
Yeah, it's like, well, it depends. What day of the week is it? You got to get up early tomorrow.
Like, when's it going to get over? Like, you know, sometimes he's home by 10:30. Sometimes he's home by 12:30.
Yeah, he gets here at 10:30. You guys go to bed. He's back out at 11:30.
Yeah.
No big deal.
One night he said he was going to be home by 11. And then he calls us at 10:30, and he was like, hey, can I not be home till 11:30? Which I commend, right? He's calling ahead of time.
Yeah, at least he called you.
Right?
Yeah, and I'd be like, no, get your fucking ass home, dog.
And I said, why? What do you guys got going on? He goes, we're wanting to go do some stuff.
He
doesn't want to tell me what that is.
It's either something to get you in trouble or a girl. Well, like, it's one of those two things.
My words to him were, that's fine. However,
tomorrow
you're going to tell me what stuff is.
Oh,
and
shit.
He goes, okay. Turns out they were ding-dong ditching.
Oh, so. harmless kid fun.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what he came up with to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows what they were
actually
doing.
He literally hung up the phone and was like, guys, I got to have a good excuse tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's going to be, he's peppering me, Mom. I know he's
going to
be peppering. Oh, my God.
It'll happen.
Ladies. Oh, yeah.
It'll happen.
Yeah.
Sooner
especially
rather than later.
Especially as you and Danielle start making some money, get away from the business. Oh, we're going to travel. Your parents used to travel. How'd that work out?
They're on an Alaskan cruise, right?
I meant when we were his age.
Oh.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, 110 people over at the house, car crashes out in the front yard, beer everywhere.
Oh, my God. Do you remember that time your brother fucking crashed that 5-0 into Ryan Sarton's duster?
Yeah. Kyle, my brother smashed.
He
gets
took
in Kyle Snyder's 5-0 Mustang.
Well, he asked him. I remember.
Makes it 40 feet trying to do like a snaky burnout and crashed right into Ryan Sarton's Plymouth Duster. And put the duster in the neighbor's yard.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he didn't just kind of bump into it. He shoved it 10 feet into my neighbor's yard.
That Mustang was fucked up.
Yeah, so was the duster.
Well, Ryan drove it like that for forever. Like, it still drove. That Mustang wasn't fucking going anywhere.
It wasn't drivable.
It was toast.
Yeah, and now there's black strips in the cul-de-sac.
What was that kid's name? Kyle what?
Kyle Snyder.
Snyder.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, because he's like, can I do it? And Kyle's like, yeah, go ahead. I was like, dude, are you sure? Yeah. Like, that's a fucking bad idea. Yeah. 30 seconds later.
He's literally crashed every Mustang he's ever driven in the first 10 miles he's ever driven it. Like,
he wrecked that fastback.
And then got it back and wrecked it again. Yep. And then got it back and wrecked it a third time.
Didn't he wreck the white one?
Coupe.
I mean, I know you had the white one, but he wrecked it too.
That's the one he wrecked three times.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he wrecked the fastback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that fastback was a dope ass ride too.
It was fun.
It could have been really cool.
Could have been.
I had a Mustang 5-0 when I was like my first car.
Did you do a burnout and wreck into a duster?
No, my parents were very much trial by fire. I was out.
That's not good.
I was out in Liberty, and a blizzard came through, like bad blizzard. And I called my mom. I was like, "Hey, can you guys come pick me up?" And they're like, "You're just gonna have to drive home." Took me 2 hours to get back from Liberty.
Got there, didn't you?
But it was like one of those where it's like, by the time you get home, your arms are so stiff, your heart is like in your throat, and you kind of get those like...
Your eyes burn because you haven't blinked in an hour. Yeah, you're trying to see the road.
Like I'm passing...
Oh, shit.
I'm passing SUVs that have like swerved off the road, and just like where you go to get off the exit ramp, but you're starting to brake like 0.8 miles from the actual exit ramp.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show.
Good old days. Now if it snows, I'm like, I'm not going out there. And I got a big old ass truck that I don't care about.
Right.
I'm like, I'm going to stay here.
I'm going to stay here.
I'm going to throw some more wood on the fire and go.
Our second winter, we were in business. Our first winter, I was our only plumber. Our second winter, we had two other plumbers and myself.
Yeah.
Maybe three. I think we had three other plumbers and myself.
Well, that'd have been. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. And we got like 8 inches of snow. We got like 4 inches of snow overnight and then another 4 inches of snow by lunch the next day. And everyone's texting me like we're banging out a good month, right?
Yeah.
And everyone's texting me and like, are we working
Mitch
today?
Is like, yeah, we're working, motherfuckers.
Like, yeah, we're working. If you can get out, let's work, you know? And the guys are like, well, I'm having a hard time seeing the lines on the road. And I'm like, don't be a pussy. Like, get out there and go. And so I
don't
meet
be a pussy.
I meet them all for lunch and I buy them all lunch.
Yeah.
Right. And then I ride with one of them for the afternoon. And we leave lunch, and I shit you not, we're not 6 miles down the road from lunch, and there's like 14 cars in ditches,
yeah.
And we got sideways. And I told our guy, I'm like, turn around and go back.
Yeah.
And then I texted everybody, and I'm like, I'm calling it.
Yeah.
All it took was for me to get out there for a little while.
What
and I'm like,
a fucking asshole. Yeah, like,
I apologize to everybody for that.
We've had these conversations about like what would it take, worst case scenario, for your business just to shut down? Like,
yeah.
You know, and everyone's like, oh, well, if there's a pile up and we kill a bunch of people or whatever, Mitch is like, 8 inches of snow. Fuck that. We're going out and get after it. I don't care.
Let's be honest. It's not like you can drive fast enough to kill people in that kind of
snow.
Like,
just fucking with you.
You just
relax.
10 mile an hour bumper, you know.
We all do dumb shit.
Whenever like the decision to close down for that day was Gunner went out to pee. Or something, he slid down the steps and on the driveway something.
When
it iced last year?
Yeah, that was like 6:30 in the morning, and they were talking about ice, and he looked out the windows, and you couldn't really tell if it was icy or not,
because
it wasn't sunny yet.
Yeah, that's when I almost wrecked my truck
and
on 70.
Yeah, I let my dog out, and he slipped off the front stairs, slipped all the way down the rest of them, slid all the way across all the landscaping and everything. And he's just looking at me with his panicked look on his face.
Over
and
to I'm the like, landscaping, when you're slipping on grass.
Yeah, when you're sliding across the lawn. Yeah. It's fucking slick out
and
here.
He's like, what do I do? And I had to go out there and get him back inside. And I'm like, we can't work today.
No.
Like, there's... You can't get out of, like, you don't even want to, if you move your truck a foot, it's going to slide down the whole street.
That was the day I was going down I-70 at like 6 a.m. And like, I had got to, you know how far it is. Like, it takes me a while to get to I-70.
Yeah.
So I'm on I-70. I'm going, it's dark out. I'm booking it like 65 miles an hour. Like, no big deal. Dude, that truck just starts going sideways real slow.
Yeah.
Like, the engine doesn't rev. I kind of realize, I'm like, okay. So I correct a little bit. It goes the other way. And then goes the other way, and now I'm full sideways through on two lanes of traffic.
Yeah,
like just slide down. I'm doing 60 miles an hour sideways, and I'm like, man, I'm about to total this fucking truck.
Yeah,
I just take my, I don't hit the brakes. I just take my foot off the gas, and I just kind of work the wheel a little bit. I bet you I came back and forth 12 times, and like
I got it,
and I slowed down to like 30. Like I realized it at the time. I'm sweating.
Yeah,
like I'm soaking wet through my shirt and everything. I'm like, I'm going to go back home.
Yeah.
Like, I get off the next exit, I turn around, and I'm, like, going home 2 miles an hour.
Yeah. No music, no podcast.
No, there was no music, nothing, just sweat.
Silence.
I was like, man, you realize I just dodged a huge fucking bullet. Like,
so that blue Ford Ranger that I had when I started our company.
The Ranger Danger? Danger Ranger?
Yeah. Before I started our company, I was driving it to the other company that I worked at, and we had ice that day.
The one on 35 South, way down there?
No, up north.
Oh, climate control.
Yeah, climate control. And so I'm driving it to there, and I'm going up 291, and it's all icy and everything else. And I'm driving slow. I'm driving like 50. Well, then I realize there's nobody on the highway, so I can probably speed up a little bit. That thing wouldn't go over 55 without spinning the back tires. It had so little traction, it couldn't overcome the wind.
That's bad.
And I ended up doing a full 360 on 291. I wish I could say this was my skill.
Just blind luck.
It comes around on me so fast.
Like it just... Whoop.
That by the time I started correcting, I was behind it. And so basically my corrections just slowed it down a little bit and it spins all the way full 360 and I go straight down the highway again. And I'm the only one in the truck, but I look around as if somebody saw this.
Like, did you see what I just did, motherfuckers? Yeah, and I am a badass.
I wish
going on
I
the highway.
Could take credit for this. First thing I did was text my wife and I'm like, this is the most dangerous truck I've ever driven in the snow.
I can't.
This thing is sketchy.
Dude, they are sketchy.
Yeah.
They literally have no weight in the back. They don't weigh anything to begin with.
I ended up borrowing a 55 gallon drum and filling it with water and antifreeze and just leaving it in the back, trying to get some weight in there.
Yeah.
So just, then I had to drain it.
Yeah. Just go get some sand.
Yeah.
Throw some sandbags in there. About 50. Now it's driving down the road like this, 45 degree angle, right. Bumpers dragging.
See, I thought about that, but then I already only got 10 miles of the gallon in my Mustang. So then you get
it doesn't matter how much weight you put in the Mustang. It ain't hooking up.
Nope. It ain't hooking up.
Open diff.
They barely hook up on fucking dry pavement.
Yep. Those things are squirrely.
And
they are squirrely.
Not as much control because it was automatic.
Right.
So that takes away another level of control as far as I can't dictate.
It's funny you bring up Mustang.
In.
Like literally yesterday I saw a guy typical white collar shirt, 80s greased up hair, slicked back. Driving a 5.0 Mustang, black, on black, convertible, original wheels. This guy's had this since 1989,
right.
92. Dude, he was fucking jamming. 101 the Fox or something, just cruising down the road. Man, he may have been one of the happiest people I've ever seen in my life. I just kept thinking, midlife crisis.
Yeah, we saw a guy a really hiked up tractor. He was going down, just not a care in the world, just had his phone out.
just videoing himself.
Just doing
whatever.
Doing
it for the gram.
Just driving away.
Do it for the gram.
Dude, those are my favorite people to see. The people that they do not care.
Dude, let's get back on task. What do you want to talk about?
I don't think we started a task.
No, we didn't start a task. I can start about, I can ramble about whatever you want.
Oh, yeah, we
can
talk
about ramble?
No.
Okay.
What I do want to talk about.
Talk about that?
Is,
here comes the topic.
Yeah, what I do want to talk about is interesting and creative ways to raise startup capital. Startup capital is probably one of the hardest things to come by if you are looking at starting your company, right? And so there's two ways that I want to attack this problem, because it is a problem, right? If you don't have capital, you can't start a company. And if you're a home service company, a lot of guys like to brag, oh, we're bootstrapped, right? And Smedley Plumbing is bootstrapped. Right? No private funding, no nothing. But what guys don't understand is there's different levels of bootstrapping, right? So essentially what bootstrapping is starting from nothing and coming into something, right?
Lots of people want to say bootstrapped as in, well, it's been 2 years and we're still bootstrapped. We still got no money. We're barely hanging on.
Or it's
a misnomer.
Or they're wealthier than they lead on to believe and they say that they started a company with no private funding, except they dumped $250,000 into it to start.
Yeah.
Right? That's different.
Yeah.
You know, if I had $250,000 to start Smedley Plumbing, we would be in a whole lot different place than we are right now. I didn't have the money to start Smedley Plumbing, and so I borrowed it from myself, essentially.
Where do angel investors work into this mix?
What the
fuck is an angel investor?
So an angel...
I like to think I'm knowledgeable. What the fuck does that mean?
This is part of why I want to talk about all this stuff, because... if you're on social media talking about building businesses and everything else, you hear the term angel investor. What an angel investor is if somebody has a business that is going to take hundreds of thousands of dollars to get off the ground. Let's say it's a tech startup. It's a new social media
app.
Like the
Daily Wire.
So it's
they're just a couple angels.
Investor groups.
The Daily Wire used two angel investors because, I mean, they're a big, massive tech company.
Right. Anything that's going to be of massive size that's going to take hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to get to plug into it before it even produces $1 in revenue, those types of companies will seek investors.
Yeah.
And an angel investor...
High startup cost.
...is somebody who invests a lot of money without... only on the concept, So,
like if it fails, they don't get any money or they have no ownership. They just get their money back.
So an angel investor is usually going to get their money back, but there's always risks with any investment. But what I'm saying, like the difference between an investor and an angel investor is like right now, if I ask for investors for my company, I actually have proof. I've got 4 years of proof to show them, you know, increasing revenue every year, increasing profits every year, increasing staff every year.
Yeah.
And so there's enough for them to say it's a good investment, right? Gotcha. An angel investor would be like, if I came to you in mid-2019, we opened in 2020. If I came to you in mid-2019 and said, I'm going to start a plumbing company, I think it'll do this, but I don't really know, and you chose to invest with me, that would be an angel investor. You invested without any proof of past success.
Gotcha. Just a dipshit. Understood.
Can be. Yeah. Or
just super rich and either believes in your idea 100%,
right,
or they're just looking to get rid of money.
Yeah. So where angel investors come in a lot is you get a guy who has more ideas than money. And his ideas are good. And there's people out there that are like this. I saw this a lot in Apex.
But they can't put it together.
Well, they've got phenomenal ideas. They just know that, okay, this idea is going to take $1 million to get off the ground. But once it's off the ground, it'll produce $10 million a year in revenue.
It's like a movie writer, essentially, too.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so those guys will seek angel investors. And those guys can rely on their past track record of like, this business, I got angel investors, and they all cashed out and doubled their money. This business, I got angel investors, and they all cashed out and got 150%, or, you know, whatever.
Gotcha.
And so they can rely on their past success. It's still considered an angel investment. So if you're starting a small home service company, you will not have angel investors. Nobody trusts anybody that's going to start a small contracting company.
I mean, I know a lot of moms out there. Here, honey.
Yeah.
You know, like stuff like that.
That's
but
different.
But not strangers.
Right.
But not strangers.
And it doesn't take $250,000 to start a home service business.
No, it doesn't.
So we started our company with $30,000. And that $30,000... I financed our first truck, so I didn't have to have the capital and then plunk down the capital on that.
You probably put down a little on the truck.
I put down like $5,000, finance the rest.
Yeah.
And we're
easy
good to
peasy.
Go.
Easy peasy. Roll on.
And that's back when you could buy Ford Transits for $35,000. Ugh, the good old days.
Well, and that's also when your interest rate wasn't fucking 10 on a vehicle.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bidenomics.
Yeah.
Can you break down the logistics of investing, and say if I was starting a business and I'm like, Mitch, I would like for you to invest, how does that shake down? Is there a contract? Is it like you set terms of service?
We're not going to go with the investment route. And the reason why is because nobody listening to this podcast needs to seek investors to do what they want to do.
That's true. But if any of you want me to invest in your business, just call me. I'll do
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm happy to take parts of your profit.
And here's the reason why. If you need investors to start a home service company, that means you haven't done it before. And nobody in their right mind is going to give anybody money to start a home service company that's never done it before and has no track record. There is no logical reason why your business will be successful other than your sheer determination, I can't measure that.
Let's be honest. There are idiots, but like it could take you 2 years to get people together to do that. Like the amount of hurdles that you would have to go through and prove and people to talk to, you could literally just work another 2 weeks and save up the money and do it.
Right. And so what I did was, this was 2020. Our home, the home values were skyrocketing. Our home did not have a finished basement. I sold a car that I got given for free and I invested $3,000 into it. I ended up selling it for $6,800 the car was free, right? So like I didn't owe anything on it. I took that $6,800 and I invested it into materials and then my labor to finish our basement. I finished our basement. Now our house has more finished square footage. It's worth even more. So then I refinanced our house. I did not do a cash out refinance.
You didn't refi.
I refinanced the house in preparation to start the company. And then I got a home equity line of credit during the refi.
Okay.
So
did a no cash out refi.
I did a no cash out refi.
And then which is kind of the same as a HELOC. It's not a line of credit. Like you just have that money to deal with
the
how
difference,
you wanted.
Yeah. The difference between a cash out refi and a home equity line of credit As a cash out refi, you have one opportunity to examine exactly how much money you're going to need.
Yeah.
And whether you use all of that money or not, you're paying interest on that whole loan.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're going to cash out, let's just say $30,000. They're going to cash out $30,000.
Yeah, they're giving you a check for $30,000.
And if you only use 15 of it, you're still paying interest on the 30.
You could
put it back.
You could just put it back in refi.
But
a HELOC is more flexible.
A HELOC, you're only paying interest on the money that you've pulled out at that time. Yeah. And if I need more money next week, I can go back to the HELOC and get more.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every $10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Yeah. And if we have a good month, I can put money back in the HELOC and it lowers the amount that's borrowed and the interest changes. So a HELOC moves with you. And that's why I did the HELOC.
It's flexible.
And so...
And that's when interest rates were low. So it was, I mean, it was great.
Yeah.
Like now if you do it...
Right. And so I ended up doing about a $70,000 or $75,000 home equity line of credit. I pulled 90 days before we opened our doors... I pulled $15,000 out of the HELOC and started buying things that I needed to start buying 90 days ahead of time, right? Yeah. So those things would be like starting to design our wrap and our stickers and everything else because there's a lead time with that. Starting to get our shelving ordered. Again, this was during COVID when
it took 8 years two days to get something.
Yeah. Supply and demand was so wonky, right? So I'm buying material, I'm buying all this stuff and getting it all rolling, getting our website up and rolling. I had to pay for that. Getting a phone system, like getting a phone up and rolling, had to pay for that. All these things I had to do ahead of time. Yeah. And then about 30 days before we opened our doors, it was probably 45 days. It wasn't 90 that we did the first round of payment. And then between 15 and 30 days before we opened our doors, I spent all the rest of the money I was going to need to spend on the things that I could do in the last 2 to 3 weeks. And that would be like all the inventory.
Stuff you didn't want to spend money on that's just sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah, I didn't want to buy inventory 45, 90 days before I'm going to open and then just have it sitting there. So
did you stock that truck?
100%. 100%.
You didn't right out of the gate. Like buy half, you just filled it up, said fuck it.
Yep.
How did you go about preparing and staying organized according to that while presumably you were still working at the other plumbing place?
Well, keep in mind, before I started our company, I had a track record of starting plumbing service departments for other people. So I've done this before our company. And so it was literally just repeating the process that I had done for several other people up to that point.
So you were getting off at 5 and you're like, okay, today's job is inventory. Today's 5 p.m. the next day.
I mean, it was something different every day. Keep in mind, I was also finishing my basement at the time too. Mm-hmm. So it was like, sometimes it was computer work, working on the business. Sometimes it was physical work, working on the basement.
Yeah.
Sometimes I didn't have any work to do on the basement because we're waiting for flooring to get here or whatever else. And so now I'm doing the business work. It just kind of depended. But I had all that mapped out and I was able to start it with $30,000. And then over the first 3 months in business, I paid all $30,000 of that back. And so the business was free and clear with the exception of the vehicle payment. The business owed nobody any money after 90 days in business.
Yeah. You need to sell that 90-day plan, make one up and sell on TradeWinds.
That's called TradeWindsConsulting.com.
Or, boom, there you
or go. WinningInTheTrades.com.
Yeah. Next week.
So by the time this podcast airs.
We own winningintheTrades.com.
Yep.
It's just we don't have it forwarded to the other one.
So basically business in 90 days. That's pretty cool.
For those that have listened to the first 9, and if you haven't, don't be dumb. Go back, listen to the first 9, and then come back to these if you want. You okay? You going to throw up? Man. Mitch hasn't had whiskey in a while. He just took a sip. I
straight
swear
whiskey
to God,
is.
He thought he's going to die.
He's missing Puckering the flavor. He's missing the lemon or the raspberry.
There's a whole, I can't remember which one of the first 9 it is, where we talk about this exact thing in detail about how to do it.
Yeah. And so essentially, like I knew I had already done the math, I'd already done the budget, and I knew I was going to need $30,000. And really, I knew I was going to need like low 20s, but I wanted 30 just so that the business bank account could start with some money in it.
Well, yeah, because you never know what could happen. Like, hey,
you could be a week and a half in business and some restaurant says, I need you to put in a water heater. And now I got to go buy an $8,000 water heater.
And don't have the money.
And I needed the money, right?
Yeah.
And so
you've got to be able to cash flow your business a little bit.
Yeah.
Like there are going to be outliers.
And having, go ahead.
And that's part of why I wanted to start with full inventory, because I wanted to literally be able to hit the ground running with any problem a customer was going to have.
Yeah. And so you could get paid immediately.
And I'm glad I did, because that made me more mobile, more versatile and everything else. And I was literally able to hit the ground running. Yeah. And
I mean, I did the same thing. Special. I didn't borrow money, but like when I had that truck, I just went up, like I literally went to O'Connor Company and I was like, well, this is what I need. Like they used to give out little books that were, you know, it wasn't like it is now. You go online, Ferguson, and just see it all. They had these little books. I just went in there and had everything highlighted, and I gave it to the guy, and I was like, hey, I need to buy all this stuff. He's like, man, that's going to be a lot.
Right.
I was like, yeah. He's like, you don't have an account here. I won't say his name, but I was like, dude, it's me. Like, that's where we, all the company I worked at before, that's where we bought everything. And he's like,
right.
All right. So he like puts it on another account, you know, and then just, I'd pay cash for it and all that kind of fun stuff.
I think like
I probably did a lot of shady things the first year that I was in business. Like not shady
things, he says.
I shouldn't say shady, but I should say the only way it happened is because I was a good salesman and I knew those guys and I'd been around them for so long that they like let me get away with shit that I probably shouldn't have been getting away with. Like, yeah, we'll say, yeah, where's your EPA card? It's at home. Are you going to email it to me? Yes. Okay. So they sell me the equipment, and then I'd go home, and I'd have to fucking get my EPA card out and
fabricate
email
it.
No, I had a real one. Come on.
I was going to,
you know, email it all over. You have it.
I know.
I was going to say, I told you you could use it anytime you wanted. I was
going to add to the conversation. Sorry to keep cutting you off, Dave.
You know what? What's the matter with you? Did you give him beer?
No,
I just...
Sure?
Well, the thing is, too, this is, like, where you're talking about now is more where I'm at.
Right.
So it's like I have more to say. So, like, the other thing I wanted to say, too, is... You guys probably encounter guys that are just like, oh, well, my wife or my spouse just isn't on board. But what you're talking about is when you have a plan, like you have the one guy that has a plan, it goes down like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do point A, point B, point C. Then you have the other guy that's like, oh, like my wife isn't on board, but like he'll come home and be like, his wife will ask him, oh, well, how are you going to do this? Well, I don't know. But then they're just like, oh, well, she's not on board.
I don't want to throw wrenches, but are you talking about your wife?
No.
Oh, okay. No. Okay. I was confused. Yeah. I wanted to make sure. No. Okay.
You will see that a lot. So like, I see this in
Daniel.
No, she was not that way. Thank
you. Like, you see it too. Like people will like a similar topic is people will post a video to YouTube. People aren't just interested in what I have to like, no, it's cause you're not like, just like they're blaming it on something else is, yeah. I'm in no way talking about any of our relationships otherwise.
What you're hitting at, like if your wife does not have faith in you to start a business, go back and look and see what kind of track record you've set for your wife. How good are you at completing projects? How good are you at starting projects that she wants you to do on time?
Man, I got so many friends that are like, hey, I remodeled my kitchen, and I go over there and like none of the quarter rounds down.
Because I mean, your spouse.
You're not done.
Well,
fucking years ago. What are you doing?
Yeah, what I'm getting at is you've probably built that. You've probably created the scenario where your wife doesn't have faith that you're going to follow through.
Well, she doesn't have trust.
Because you never have before.
And honestly, like that's, she's like, your spouse is your biggest investor. Like, yeah, they may not be like as far as the money wise, but like they're the ones that have to deal with all the other tolls that go wrong with business. Like
your spouse is the one at the most risk.
Yeah.
Because you're going to go make this decision. And if they don't believe in you, mm-hmm. it's their kids and their marriage that's on the line. Mm-hmm. Right. There's a lot of businesses that fail and take a marriage with them simply because of a lack of communication and a lack of understanding. Right. Mm-hmm. Thankfully,
hey, episodes 1 through 9, we talk about that also.
Yeah.
So just like, I don't want this to be a rehash, but seriously.
Yeah. Go back to episodes 1 through 9.
You and your
for
spouse
sure.
have to be on the same page.
Yeah.
If you're not, and you're like, well, I'm just going to do this. Who cares what she says?
Right.
And you're already under the gun. So like, what are you doing?
Don't be stupid.
Let
me give you a prime example of what I'm talking about. And this has less to do with business, but at the same time, it has everything to do with business. Yesterday, I had a shit day yesterday. Like if it could go wrong, it went wrong and just all kinds of things all over the place.
And
right?
Today you buried the trailer or was that yesterday too?
Today, that was today.
So two shit days in a row.
To bury the trailer. I mean, it cost me about 12 minutes. My guy was only 12 minutes away.
Just
so
fucking
it's not,
with you.
Not too big of a deal, but,
so defensive.
So yesterday,
Dave.
I was up early and I was running all day long, like no chance for a break. We had Tradewinds coaching calls last night, and those coaching calls started at 5. And I hadn't eaten lunch. I hadn't nothing. I walked in the door at 4, and I'm literally walking across the garage, getting ready to walk into my kitchen. And I'm like, thank God I have an hour to decompress before coaching calls.
Yeah.
Right. I literally open the door to Mason and Danielle in the kitchen telling me the dryer's broken. It won't work.
So what? It's a dryer. That's not even a today problem when I've had a bad day. That's pull the shit out. I'll fuck with it tomorrow.
It's 100 degrees outside. Put it outside.
Yeah, hang that shit outside.
It is a today problem when we spent all weekend at Lake of the Ozarks and everyone's clothes are dirty and soaked because it poured its ass off.
I'm with Austin. So fucking put a clothesline up, dog. Yeah. It was 100 degrees yesterday and windy.
So I guess this what I'm saying is this is where my wife knows that I'll follow through with anything I start is I wanted nothing to do with that dryer at that time.
Yeah.
However, I knew that if I don't do this now, like I'm so busy, like I don't have time to do anything else. I guess I won't get the downtime that I want. So I go straight back out to my truck. I grab my tools. I pull the dryer apart. I find a bad, it's got a bad high limit switch.
Fusible link.
Yeah. It's
they're
it's,
like, some of them are fusible like links. Some of them are resettable. Some of them aren't. And they just lock out. They're kind of like furnace ones.
Yeah.
I've replaced 10 in our dryers over the last.
Yeah.
Fucking 20 years.
Yeah. I bypassed it. First, I shocked the fuck out of myself because there's two of them and one of them you can't see. And you can see one of them. And so I'm sitting there screwing with it. Well,
why
there's another
is
one hiding
still
around there.
Fucking plugged in?
Well, because I'm a cowboy. I don't know. So,
dude, ohmmeter, unplug. Yeah. Boop.
So
it's good. It's not good.
Oh, no. I go the hillbilly way.
Oh, here
I get
we
my
go.
Little jumper wire out and I just bypass it and turn it on.
I dip my hands in water before I start. Yeah.
And so I turn it on.
I dip my hands in water before
I turn it on. After I bypass it, I turn it on and everything comes to life. And I'm like, cool. What's 120 volt, right? It's it's a high voltage. It's not low voltage.
Yeah, and they're 15 amp too. Yeah, like, they'll grab a hold of your ass.
Yeah, my little jumper wire
smoke them?
Was really hot and flimsy after running that current for like 10 seconds. But anyway,
I use needle nose for that just to let you know.
I jump on, boop. You know, I jump on the internet. I find the part number. I go straight to Amazon and find out that, okay, this is not an Amazonable thing. Like it is, but it's going to take 3 weeks to get here.
There's one of those places in Oak Grove that sells those parts.
So I find it online. I find it online for like $80 and for an extra $20, they'll do next day shipping. And so it shipped out this morning.
Right? Nice.
Took me a total of like 47 minutes to do all
of this. And
you
just left it bypassed so everyone could get their shit.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. I just bypassed it for now. Like, fuck yes, it. We don't have a high limit switch, but do you ever really need
gives
it?
Gives a
our,
shit.
Our dryer actually broke and I fixed it. But luckily for ours, it was that little switch that tells the door that it's closed.
Yeah.
So bypass. I had to like, boop. I just kind of had to like rig it up to where it's like tape on like a little extension.
He's like, no, yeah. I'm a cowboy.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm saying is,
you
is it
just like wire nut them together and then turn it back on. You know what?
Yeah.
That's another talk for another day.
Thanks for good stories.
I love you, man.
Because of situations like that, where the moment I'm told about something, I address it, I take care of it, it's bookended. And like when the part comes in, like I can guarantee you that within an hour of me being home and that part being here, it'll
be
installed
and
in the dryer.
Yeah.
Right.
Mitch is not a procrastinator.
Right. Now, ironically,
I am.
Ironically, I did put new flooring in my living room like 3 years ago, and I still have not put quarter round down. But
are you serious? Yeah. That's funny. I brought up quarter round. What's the matter with you? I've never noticed.
Yeah, it's because we had carpet before, and so it's got to like I don't. It's not like I have to put quarter round back down. I got to find the matching size and then paint it to match and everything.
I got
to
find the matching size.
Yeah.
Don't say it like it's difficult to find.
It is.
If you
go to Home Depot, you can't find this size quarter round. I don't know. Like our house has weird shape, weird size quarter round.
Do you want my trim guy's number?
Well, that's what I need to do. I just need to call a trim guy and have him come over and knock
You know
it
what
out.
I'm going
to
do every podcast from now on? I'm going to ask you if you're fucking quarter round stuff.
Well, it's like, it's like you've made it this far without it. So it's like the motivation to like get it in there.
But
stop.
But ultimately, so like that's how I gained my wife's support. It was years and years and years of starting things and actually completing them. And so my wife knew that I always successfully achieve whatever I set myself out to achieve.
Yeah.
If I'm going to, you know, drop a transmission in the driveway and mess with a torque converter or something, she's going to be like, are you sure you can do that? And I'll say yes. And then I actually do it.
Yeah. Right. And she now, walks away. Yeah.
That's not without a shortage of cuss words and alcohol and, you know,
beer cans those, in the house. Goddamn mother. Blah, blah.
Yeah. Like if you ever see a guy laying silently under a car, do not approach him.
No, he's not dead. He's trying to keep his shit together.
Yeah, he's in the process of keeping
Dude,
his shit together.
You're
one broken bolt away from.
I'm not shitting you. When I pulled that transmission out of that Camaro, like by myself,
yep.
Like I had no lift. It was just up on ramps. I'm down there. Like she came down there one time and was like, is everything okay? And put her head under there. And I looked at her and I said, what do you fucking think?
Yeah.
She just knew. Left. Yep. She was like, oh, I'll see you. She didn't say anything, just yep. left.
Well, so but ironically, like, the dryer broke, right? The other day. We have a similar story with a washing machine.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information in a one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
She told me one time that the washing machine has an odor. And I'm like, it's a fucking washing machine. Like, it literally cleans itself every time you use it. How can it have an odor?
Pour a fucking half gallon of bleach in there and run a cycle.
Like, she's like, there's water under the drum. I can hear it. And it smells horrible. And it's making our clothes stink. And I'm like, whatever.
Front loader?
No, it's top load.
Okay. I hate front loaders.
Yeah.
I will never own one.
And so then.
Your shit stinks.
She was so adamant about it. She's like, fine. Like, this is on a Saturday. She's like, fine. I'll fix it. And so she goes out and gets my tools.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, have at it.
Did you
like,
get a beer and go in there and lean against the door and like no, holding it? Like,
I just
let's
her
see
do it,
what
right?
you got, girl.
And so she'd come down and get more tools and go back up there. And she'd come down and she'd be like, I'm halfway there. And, you know, she's watching these YouTube
it's
videos.
Been 2 hours.
Else.
Mitch. Got
so they, there's this nut on the dryer called a basin nut. And it's what holds the basin into the drum, right?
Yeah.
And it's a pot metal nut on like a
it's
stainless
junk.
Steel
they always
shaft.
Break.
It galls up and it won't move.
Yeah.
And so she comes to me and she's like, there's one nut that I can't get off. It's literally the last nut that I have to get off in order to pull the basin out. Can you help me with at least that? And I'm like, sure. So I go up there with my pipe wrench and it won't fucking move. And now I'm like, damn.
I'm in it now.
Right?
I'm in it now, bitch.
And so now I'm taking my hammer and I'm tapping my pipe wrench and it's starting to move. And then I tap it the other way and move it back and I'm loosening it up.
Spray a little PB on that bitch.
But yeah, PB Blaster for sure. A little bit of heat, which PB Blaster and heat is a great combination if you want to light your laundry
first
room
off,
on fire.
First off, so, stop.
Yeah. So
what is the matter?
What is PB Blaster?
Flammable liquid.
So now I'm having to tap this with a wrench so hard to get the nut to turn. Water is splashing up from under the drum and it's the most putrid foul smelling water
and she's
ever.
She's like, I told you, bitch.
And she's not in the room, but now I'm getting really angry because now that this water is splashing me in the face, it smells horrible. And I don't know if I'm more mad that I'm getting splashed in the face with horrible smelling water or the fact that she was right.
Or the fact that she suckered you into fixing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so now I'm just all kinds of pissed. Well,
Love where this story is going.
Too much PB Blaster and water splaying everywhere, and my freaking wrench slips, and my hammer goes right through the side of the drum. Puts a hole right in the side of my washing machine.
How does that even...
It's
was
a
it not stainless?
Drum.
Oh, okay.
It's a plastic...
Ours are stainless. That's
it's a stainless outer drum, but the little
gotcha.
Inner thing
gotcha,
that you
gotcha,
see
gotcha.
Is plastic.
Gotcha.
And, I mean, put a hole right through it.
And now you're like...
I lost my temper. I've only lost my temper maybe 5 times in our entire marriage. I lost my temper and started, you know... Like Christmas Story, right? like
where's the Tylenol?
Yeah. And so I'm just cussing up a storm. And then she's like walking upstairs to check on me. Well, my temper lost even farther. And I just take my hammer and start beating the shit out of this washing machine. Like, it's already ruined, right? She opens the door to see me taking full swings with a hammer to the washing machine. She looks me in the eye. She looks at the washing machine. She kind of smirks and she just closes the door because she knew Mama's getting a new washing machine now.
She literally played you the whole fucking time. I guarantee earlier in the day, she had JB welded that fucking nut on there. So she's like, you know what? Fuck him. So I'm getting a new washing machine.
Then, full story with this. So then I rip the thing out and I throw it in the front yard. Like, I am mad, right? I throw in the front yard.
HOA upside, comes by. Mr. Smedley.
Yeah, upside you can't down. Have like all that putrid water is running off into the grass and everything. And I just leave it there and I disappear. And she texts me and she's like, where are you going? Like, do I need to come with you? And I'm like, I'm going to get a new washing machine. Like, this was the wrong time to start this. Everyone's got laundry to do. This is not the time to start this, right? And so she's
I'm going to get a new washing machine. It's 10 at night.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. So I go to Home Depot and they got like a wall of washing machines,
dude,
right?
Dude, they don't ever have any.
So I'm like, I want to buy that washing machine. She's like, cool, we can order it for you and it'll be here in 3 weeks.
They don't have any.
I lost my shit on the grill. I'm like, what do you mean be here in 3 weeks? I need a washing machine today.
I need one right fucking now.
And she's like, well, we don't have room to store them in the store. Yeah. And I'm like,
you got to go to Lowe's.
I throw my arms up. I'm like, we're in fucking Home Depot. Are you telling me there's no room in this store to stock a single clothes washer?
Oh, my God.
And she was like, sir, I don't think we're going to get along very well, so I'm going to have my manager come over here. And I'm like, ah, great. Now I've been a dick.
Yeah.
And so the manager comes over. They end up selling me the floor model. I take it home that day. And I tell the manager, I'm like, before I leave, can you send her back? I owe her a big apology. Like, I bit her head off. And
I'm losing my shit.
She's starting to cool down right here.
Yeah. And so I get the washing machine. I apologize to her. I go home and
won't fit in the door.
No. Get it put in. Everything's good. I go to get the other one now because now I got to take the other one to the trash heap, right? So I go to get the other one, and in the 4 hours that it sat in the front yard upside down, killed the grass underneath it. Whatever was so putrid in that water,
that was the PV. That was the PV blaster, dude. That shit will kill anything.
Yeah. It's just like that constant reminder of that day you had is that patch of grass.
Well, and what's funny is not only did it kill it, like that grass disappeared. Like you may as well have put gasoline on there. Like it was a dirt patch for a while.
It's that PV blaster, dude. It's some good. Like if you need to kill some shit, mix a little bit of that with some gasoline.
Yeah.
You're good.
You're good.
You're good. Do not put gasoline or PB blaster in a pump sprayer. Just letting y'all know.
Yeah.
Unless it's all plastic.
And you're going to.
Or you're going to die.
You're going to eat something.
It's going to explode.
So roundabout long-winded story to say that I have my wife's support.
We haven't talked about how to raise funds and we're 50 minutes into the show, but I will say this. It's been entertaining itself.
Yeah.
Well, other
things that you can do to fundraise. And we're talking.
Let's talk the simplest way. The simplest way for you to fundraise is plan, budget, work as much overtime as you can if you're at a job, and set that fucking money aside.
Yeah.
That's the most realistic, easiest way if you don't want to borrow money.
Yeah, but
now it can take time.
Overtime's only going to give you a couple extra $100 a week. Right.
I don't want to like talk about finances shit, but if you aren't saving money every month anyway,
right,
get your shit together.
Right. Well, chances are if they're listening to this show
and if they're
in, hold on. If they're listening to this show and in need of fundraising funds, they haven't been saving money. Right. If they had been saving money, they wouldn't need to fundraise. They could just dip into their savings.
No, well, you know, you say that. I would never tell anyone to dip into their savings to dip into all of their savings to start, because I'm one of the old school guys I want the safety net. I want to have that money for mostly like my buddy calls me and says, hey, I got to sell this gun. I have no money. And I can just pull out a big wad of cash and be like, okay,
I didn't dip into my retirement or anything else, you know,
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I easily could have done like an early cash out withdrawal from my retirement, paid the penalty and had the money that way, but I didn't do that.
And actually, that's not a penalty. Usually, you can borrow up to an X amount of dollars from your own 401k, and then you pay yourself back with interest. It's like a loan from yourself. Mm-hmm. You just have to pay the interest back.
Mm-hmm.
That's another topic for another day.
You said you got the loan for your van before you left your company because they won't give it to you.
Yeah, once you're on your own, technically by bank terms, you're unemployed. You don't have an employer other than yourself.
Yeah.
And so I got the loan on the van while I was still working for somebody else. So they used my employment at somewhere else to approve me for the loan. Yeah. And then 2 weeks later, I quit.
Yeah. It's the same thing as the bullshit home mortgage thing. You only have to look good for one day in time.
Yeah.
But then you're supposed to stay that way for 30 years. Like, there's not going to be any changes. Mitch literally went in there, got the loan. A week later, went in and went, fuck you guys, I quit.
Well,
and you're like, well, I already got my loan. Fuck you.
Literally, I got approved for the loan. I got approved for the loan. And then it took me about a week or so to actually get the vehicle. But once I got approved for the loan and we were all good, like literally the next day I put in my, it was a 3 week notice is what I put in.
Yeah.
So I quit 3 weeks after I got approved for the loan, 2 weeks after I got the vehicle.
Yeah. Don't be stupid. Don't get mad at your boss, quit, and then think you're going to go get a loan because you want to start your own company.
So I want to talk about some of the other fundraising things that I did, because like I wanted to get out of debt before I started our company. And so my fundraising kind of went more into that aspect because I had a little bit of credit card debt and stuff to get rid of before I started our company.
Yeah.
And so I found a skill that I was good at that I could make some side money on. There's a the big difference between side money and real money is side money is something that happens and you can't deny it. However, it's not, there's not enough there to turn it into a full-fledged, full-time job.
Yeah, it just comes up once in a while or an opportunity. Like,
so if you're a plumber or an electrician and your aunt asks you to wire their basement or plumb their basement or something, that's a side gig, right? You're going to run out of ants pretty quick, so you can't rely on that mechanism to feed you with a real job, right? So those are side gigs. I was actually pretty handy with installing vinyl graphics on cars.
I've asked you to do my boat. You keep telling me no.
Yeah. And so, well, now it's a time thing.
Hey, which, by the way, your girl still hasn't fucking emailed me back. I've emailed her 10 times. You said she was great.
Call. That's what I do. I call. But anyway.
No, fuck her. I'm moving on to someone else.
So I started installing vinyl graphics on cars. And sometimes this would be like somebody ordered a racing stripe graphic kit and they would bring me their car and their kit and I would put it on. Other times it was like somebody wanted their roof blacked out. And so I would vinyl wrap their roof of their car black. It's kind of a, if you have a tinted windshield and a tinted back windshield, it's kind of cool to have the black roof and it just puts a black.
Yeah. It looks, you know, it looks really fucking stupid, but I mean,
it is what it is. And so
people have weird taste.
I did a lot of that kind of stuff. Maybe, and then it evolved into me vinyl wrapping whole cars. Guys would bring me their car and I would charge them $1,000, $2,000 and I would change the color of their car.
Dude, it's so tedious. I don't know how you do it. It's
not easy, right?
No, it's not easy. Like, so, I don't have, like, I'm a little too high strung. I can't do that.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I would stack
bubble,
it up.
I'm killing people in the street.
I would stack it up to where I was doing two or three roofs on a Saturday, like every Saturday. And I got into the right Facebook groups and stuff like that to where people would say, like, hey, who's the guy? I want my roof black. And they would tag me in it. And I would just,
you just get them.
I mean, I'm only making like $100 or $150 a roof. It takes me like 2 hours to do. So I'm making like $60 an hour cash.
But if it's here at your house,
it's here at my house, I don't have to go anywhere.
I can drink a couple cold beers. Yeah. It's not like it's, you know.
Yeah. And it was a done while you wait thing. Like they would bring their car over and then
hang out for two hours.
You
have to bring a 12 pack also?
No.
Oh, no. Come on, man. Push through that spiff.
I was doing that stuff. What else was I doing? So then I evolved out of that and I'm like, okay, this makes money, but it takes all of my time. It takes an entire Saturday to make like $400, $500. Now I've got a little bit of money in the bank. So I'm like, how can I let my money work for me? And so I found a dealer car auction close to by where I worked. And so I actually went up there. They would wholesale to the public.
Yeah. And most of those will.
Yeah. And so I went up there. It was an online auction and you can get in these cars and you can't start them and you can't drive. You could start them, but you can't drive them. And so you could go to the lot.
Yeah. You had to inspect them.
Pre-auction and you could inspect the car. You could start it, but you cannot drive it. And so I found like 8 or 10 cars on my list of like, if I can get these, I will. And I had $3,000. That's all I had. And so, I found two cars that I was willing to buy. And as luck would have it, they came up back to back on the docket. One right then the other. And there were some other sporadic ones here and there, but they went for like way over what I was willing to pay. And so then one was a Ford Focus that needed like a hood, a front bumper, and two headlights.
Piece of cake. You can order them. They'll come with the paint on them.
Yeah. Yeah. You can, I mean, you can buy them used off eBay, right? It's an old used Ford Focus. I don't need a brand new hood. Like just give me a used one as long as the colors match.
Yeah.
And so I ended up buying the Ford Focus for like $1,500.
Jackpot.
And I'm like, cool. I have another 1500. I bought the Ford Focus for 1450. And I'm like, cool, I have another 1550 in my budget. The very next car up was a Hyundai Accent. Which is a royal piece of shit, by the way.
Yeah, they are. They're pieces of shit.
But I'm like, I have another 1550. Like, I might buy that.
I'm going to get them both, bitch.
And so, sure enough, the auction came in and I was able to buy that one for $1,500.
You're like,
so I bought two cars for $2,950.
Is this the one where you ended up not getting charged for one of them?
Yes. So I go to pick up the cars
the next day.
Yeah, I go to pick up the cars the next day. And I pay with my debit card and they have to do two separate transactions. And so I pay for both transactions and they give me all the paperwork and everything. And I had buddies from work helping me get them all back to work. And then I had to recruit some other buddies to get them from work to home.
Yeah.
But
hey dude, you still got that tow truck?
And
I need this shit at my house.
So then I get home and a couple days later, we're looking at the bank statement and they only charged us for one of the cars. They charged us $1,450. They never charged me the $1,500 for the Hyundai Accent. And so I'm an honest guy. I call them up and I'm like, hey.
You are honest.
Yeah, I call them up and I'm like, hey, I bought a couple of cars at your auction and I think you only charged me for one. And this lady got all kinds of attitude. She was like, are you accusing me of making a mistake? And I'm like, well, I'm not saying a mistake was made. I'm just saying that I bought two and you only charged me for one. I want to make sure that I pay for both of them. And she was like, I can guarantee you, if you bought a car, we charged you for it.
Boop.
And I'm like,
see you, bitch. Yeah.
I'm like,
have a great day.
Well, in my head, I'm like, strike two, right? And then I told her, I'm like, well, just double check your records. I work right down the road. If you see that I haven't paid for it, call me and I'll come up there and pay for it. And she's like, we are only open on Tuesdays and I am not going to go through all this work. Trust me, if you bought a car from us, it's paid for. And I'm like, strike three. Okay. Sorry for the confusion.
I'm sorry that I tried to give you $1,500, you worthless bitch.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
And so now I have an extra $1,500, right? So I quickly ordered parts for the Focus and got it up and running.
Sold that motherfucker.
And quickly ordered parts for the Hyundai Accent and got it up and going. Sold them both for $3,000 a piece.
Jackpot.
And so I turned $1,500. It should have been $3,000.
Yeah.
But I turned $1,500 into $6,000.
Yeah.
Okay. And so again, those are fundraising things. Like, am I going to open an automotive dealership? No. That's why it's a side gig. It's a thing that produces money short term, temporary. And I ended up doing this with quite a few cars. I ended up flipping 7 cars and then I got a letter from the state saying,
aren't you only allowed?
You're only allowed 6.
Oh, I thought it was 12.
Well, 6 per person per year, 12 per household if you have a 2-person household.
Oh, okay.
And so I did 7.
I meant to put my wife's name on that last one. I'm so sorry.
Well, they just gave me a warning and they said, if you do any more, you got to be a dealer. And,
no
and
problem.
So I'm like, no problem. Maybe if
we
I
should,
do it
maybe
again.
Maybe we should start that hot side. Dude, I have room in my barn.
It's hard now.
Yeah.
This was before Facebook. Like, this was back when it was easy to buy and sell cars off Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah,
I bought an old the Lincoln. What's the Lincoln version of a Crown Vic?
Continental.
Lincoln Continental.
Yeah.
What's the Mercury version of that? Not Marauder.
Is it Grand
Marquis? Marauder. Grand Marquis.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, so Austin contributed to the show today.
So again. I bought a Mercury Grand Marquis that was pristine.
Was it one of those ones that had the big giant motor in it?
Yeah, big V8.
Yeah.
Those are big vehicles.
Dude,
it was
so
pristine.
Fast.
The windshield was shattered in it. The car was pristine.
Supercharger on that bitch.
The guy said, $1,000 and it's yours. I scheduled the windshield install before I ever went and picked up the car. Okay. So it's scheduled for tomorrow. I go pick up the car today, bring it home. They put in a windshield tomorrow. I had it sold the next day for $3,000. I made like $1,800 on that one car alone.
Let's talk about the moral of the story.
The moral, like, of
the
story,
of the story is, and I meant, let me talk. You just shut up for a little bit. The moral of the story
that guy
is
on the left.
Yeah. That guy on the left. The moral of the story is, if you're not willing to do whatever it takes to raise the money to be in business for yourself, you probably don't have the moxie to be in business for yourself to start with.
This is true.
Like, if you don't have the fucking gumption to do whatever the fuck it takes, you probably shouldn't be in business for yourself.
You got to be able to Gary V it.
Because there is...
You know, there is stuff, like he'll go to those, like he'll go from garage sale to garage sale.
Dude, this is...
And he'll flip it in the street across from the garage
this is,
sale.
Like, yeah. this is real life.
Yeah.
Like, they're just... Sometimes you have to go to a lady's house at midnight. Sometimes you've got to work for 2 fucking weeks straight in the summer. Sometimes you've got to waive your service charge and then fucking feel sick to your stomach for 3 months because you've had a fucking tough summer.
Right.
Like, you literally have to be able to do whatever it takes. And if you don't... If you don't have the stomach for it, you're probably not going to be successful. Like, right. It just is what it is, man. You've got to fucking step up to the plate and make it happen.
Yeah.
Like, and your first barometer, your first test is what we're talking about now.
Right.
Like, do I have what it takes to save the money, to buy the van, to buy the material? Am I cutting my neighbor's yards with my lawnmower to raise any extra capital I can to make it fucking happen? Like,
right.
We've talked about a lot of fun stories, but like, that's the meat and potatoes. Like, you got to be
meat and potatoes is you got to make shit happen.
Yeah, you've got to fucking make shit happen.
As
and sometimes,
the young kids call it, that's hustle and grind.
Yeah, sometimes you get kicked in the nuts.
Yeah.
You feel like you just have to fucking overcome it.
Yeah.
Like, how much, like, pre-production, because I'm sure you didn't pull the trigger and 1 month later you're in business. It's like... You know, if you're thinking about starting a business and you're like, okay, next month, and you just now had the idea, like, I feel like it takes a lot of preparation and just like.
So I made at the, it was at the end of January in 2020. I sent Daniel, I wish our messages went back this far, but it doesn't.
We'll just say they did. You're reading it.
No, it at the end of January 2020, I sent Danielle a text that said, I have done this for other people. And been, I'm like batting 1,000 with my success rate.
I swear I told you that like 10 times.
And yeah.
Like
it took me way too long to decide to start it.
19 years.
It did not take you way too long. It, because you wanted to be sure.
Right.
So let's not say that, but it just like you knew it, but didn't know it.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. I knew it, but I didn't have the confidence in myself.
Yeah.
Right.
You didn't know what you didn't know.
I sent Danielle a text in late January of 2020 and it said, you know, I'm way too smart to keep doing this for other people. It's time we make a name for ourselves and do this for us. And she's like, let's do it. So that was late January 2020.
Two gummies in.
All right, baby.
Yeah,
this was before gummies. But that was late January 2020. We didn't open our doors until August 1st of 2020. And so, you know, that's 6 or 7 months.
Yeah.
Really, it was probably 6 months of planning and 1 month of
action.
Like, get shit in gear.
Let's get the fuck after it.
Like, we got our CRM, and I can remember sitting in my living room. Danielle's at her computer. We had to buy computers. That's part of what the startup costs were.
Yep.
This computer is original.
I love buying
the startup computer.
I mean, I don't know how many times we have to talk about in TradeWinds conversations about you getting
my
a new
computer
crashing. But yes.
So, but yeah, we had to buy computers and all of that stuff. And so I can remember me on my tablet that I had to buy.
Yep.
And Danielle on her computer learning our CRM together.
Yeah.
And she's in her office creating fake calls and then sending them to me as a tech in the field on my tablet.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting on the couch in my living room and I'm like, hey, I just got it. Okay, I think I completed it. I'm going to send it back to you. Let me know if it looks good. And she's like, yeah, that looks all right. Or no, that doesn't. Your notes aren't showing. Yeah, she'd be like, your notes aren't showing up in the right spot. And I'm like, okay, well, that was the wrong spot to put them. Send it back and I'll find the right spot. And like, we were figuring it out on how to do that, right?
Yeah.
Ironically, just yesterday, I posted a Facebook post that just said, everything is figure outable. Right. Turns out there's a book called Everything is Figure Outable. I'm going to have to read this book.
We talked about Figure Outable last podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, case in point, it wasn't like an emotional rash decision. And so it's like, I feel like if you find your place where you're like, you're heated and you're emotional and you're like, you want to start your business a month from now.
When
it's probably not. A good
yeah.
Idea.
You probably got to like, you have to, how do I say this?
Sorry,
you have to set emotions aside when you're planning. And being like being hyped up and being energetic because you feel like it's going to be great and I'm doing the right thing and it makes me feel good. That doesn't get the wheels turning.
Right.
The work is what gets the wheels turning. The planning is what gets the wheels turning.
Yeah. There is no place for emotions in business.
Yeah, said the guy on the left.
When emotions are high, intelligence is low. Right.
Yeah.
Think about like.
That's something I deal with constantly.
Right. Right.
Like I got to walk away or I will fucking stab people.
Right. Right. We make dumb decisions when we're emotional.
Oh my God.
And so you gotta give yourself a realistic amount of time to get your emotions out of it and actually get tactical with shit. And chances are there's, if you're the guy who never finishes a product or a project, it's because you're making those decisions to start projects with emotion instead of like, oh, I'm going to build a deck. And then you go randomly buy some random lumber without actually drawing plans to know what kind of lumber you need and where you're going to put posts and where you're going to put columns and everything else, right?
Yeah.
And so there's the guy that's got caution tape on his deck and the boards are already dry rotted.
4 years.
Yeah. The boards are dry rotted because he never completed the project because he never put the plans in place.
It's like if you do start a company and then you start performing work at an accelerator for your customers and your wife is running to be like, well, I couldn't get you to do crap and you started a business and now you're getting all this stuff from everybody else.
I feel like Austin's talking about himself a lot today.
Yeah, I know.
I'm really not. The vibes I'm getting from Austin today.
No, I'm really not.
I'm about to have to invest in audiovisual.
My wife and I have had, honestly,
I'm really not.
My wife and I have had those conversations before about like she's questioned, you know, like home life and business are two totally different things, right?
It's hard to mix that shit.
And she'll be like, how in the world can you be so successful at work and so successful in business, but we have all these struggles at home, right? And it's not a lot of struggles.
Because those are your fucking job.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
No, it's,
that's what I would say.
It's easily explainable that when emotions are high, intelligence is low. In business, there is no emotion. It's a business decision. It just is what it is. And if you don't like it, tough shit. I didn't do it to spite you. I did it because it's what needed to be done in the business, right?
Yeah.
Whereas at home, it's very difficult to remove emotion when your relationship's literally built on emotion, right? Your relationship is literally built on love, which is the strongest emotion you can have.
Fear is the strongest emotion you can have, but okay, go ahead.
Maybe.
No.
Right?
That's what's kept us all alive. Go ahead.
But it's hard to remove emotion whenever it comes to tough decisions at home, right?
Yeah.
And so that's why you cannot have emotion in business. I had to make a tough call in our company last week. There was no, like, it sucks that I had to make that call, but it's business.
What'd you do?
We'll talk about that. You know about it, but I don't want to talk about it on the podcast. So,
will I be here for the next podcast?
No.
You fired, bitch.
But there's a lot of times where you have to make decisions like that. And it is strictly just a business decision. It's like, I love you guys, but I have to do this. And this is going to hurt, but I still have to do it. It's my number one job is to protect the health of the business, protect the mothership. And if I can't do that, I have no sense in running a business.
Yeah. Right?
So if I let my love for my guys trump my love for the business, well, then I'm going to have great relationship with guys and no business.
No, you're going to have a great relationship with the one guy you helped. The other ones are going to hate you because the business went under and now they ain't got fucking jobs.
It's basically the Titanic. Like, I love you, Rose, but the ship's going down.
Yeah, but the door is not able to hold both of us, right?
Which is bullshit. That door could float three motherfuckers.
Right.
She just killed him.
Yeah.
That's a topic for another day.
He's still going to ask about that.
She killed him.
Yeah.
She killed him.
And he didn't have a life vest on either. She said on the door with the life vest on and he just...
Yeah.
Yep.
Poor Leonardo's fucking drowning. This bitch is just a slut and a liar.
Mm-hmm.
What's funny is...
She's just a liar.
What's funny is
how do you throw the purple diamond over? How do you not sell that and then help your family for 18 generations?
Right.
You're just a dumb old bitch.
She lets that guy like deep sea dive for 3 years and be like, oh, have you found it yet? Then at the end of the movie, she just throws it over. Yeah. Like, over you.
Yeah. I hated so much about that movie.
We struck a chord with you two, apparently.
I hate that fucking movie. It drives me. It should have been so good. Everyone's like, it's so great. And I'm like, all I see are flaws. I'm like, what are you talking about?
See, like, I really liked the movie, but just, like, there's that thing of, like, he could have fit on the door. And then, like, she just throws the diamond into the...
Yeah. How dumb you gotta be? And slutty. That is a bad combination.
It's like a praying mantis. Rips the head off.
Yeah. Like, it was kind of...
I had sex with him, and then I killed him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. Wrap us up, Mitch. This is like an hour and 20 minutes.
Well, I'm just other things that you can do for fundraising. Home equity lines of credit, cash out refinance. You can always go into your retirement accounts if you have to. I got a buddy of mine that started a restaurant by cashing out his retirement account. Now he has like 7 restaurants and he sells beer all over the world.
Yeah.
So like as long as you have a successful track record of following through with things you commit to, let's take a step back. To get a successful track record of following through with things you commit to means two things. Means for one, you have the stick-to-itiveness to actually follow through with a plan.
Intuitiveness.
The gumption, the balls.
I'm going to put that on a t-shirt.
Stick-to-itiveness.
Void on the front, stick-to-itiveness on the back.
But also it means that you have the ability to calculate out exactly what it's most likely going to take. And so that whenever you are thrown for a curveball, it's not like you're blindsided. It's like, okay, I wasn't expecting that. However, we have enough other things going, like we can handle that. That's figure outable, right? Yeah. And so if you do that enough, then you're willing to risk your 401k. You're willing to risk your retirement, right? But these guys that walk into the casino with $100 hoping they're going to double it on the slot machines where they have no risk or no control over that.
No.
Like, that's not a retirement plan, right?
No.
That's not a...
That's a lottery ticket plan.
That's a lottery ticket. And, and what happens with most lottery winners? They end up bankrupt in 5 years.
I will say this. If you think you're going to go in and put $100 on black, just go buy $100 worth of lottery tickets. Your odds are better.
Yeah.
Just letting
probably.
You know. Just fucking letting you know.
Yeah. At least at least with $100 in scratchers tickets, some of them are going to be winners. Yeah. Whereas $100 on black, you might lose it all in a blink of an eye.
Yeah.
So
stop.
Unless you're the super smart guy that figured out the lottery algorithm.
Okay. We're not getting into that.
Wins a bunch of money for his town.
We're not. We're no. No, Austin.
That was a good movie, too.
Bad Austin.
movie. Exactly.
It was a good movie.
Yeah. But there's plenty of things that you can do. You can sell vehicles, your own vehicles, right? Like if you have payments on your vehicles and you're not upside down on your vehicles, you can sell your vehicles, drive some beaters, and then take what you were paying in payments and put that in the bank.
Yeah.
Like that's a way to save money. States with personal property taxes, that'll also help you out there because now you don't have a big personal property tax payment whenever that comes due. So there's tons of things you can do. Junk removal is like one of the easiest ways to raise money.
Do you see Jeremy's doing that?
There's a lot of people that are doing it.
Jeremy Mercado was a guest on our show one time.
Yep.
Nice guy, great guy. I don't know exactly what his job is. He literally posted 2 weeks ago, hey, since I've been doing my junk removal side hustle, I've made more at that than I have at my job.
Yeah.
Like, and he was just doing it on the weekends.
Yeah.
Like, there's no red tape.
Right.
You're just hauling shit away.
Right. And, like, that kind of prepares you a little bit for your salesmanship that you're going to need in your other business and everything else. Now, is it scalable and can you build it into a full-fledged business? Some do. But
that's why it's a side hustle.
Yeah, to some people, it's just a means to an end, right? Like, I wasn't buying and flipping cars because I wanted to do that forever. It was a means to an end. I had a financial goal I wanted to hit, and so I bought and flipped enough cars to hit the goal.
Yeah.
And I kind of stacked and rolled and stacked and rolled and stacked and rolled that. Like, initially when I was buying and flipping cars, I thought it was going to like it was a trade up. I'm going to buy this one for $1,500. I'm going to sell it for three.
Drive
I'm going to buy
Mercedes,
another one.
Baby.
Yeah. I'm going to buy another one for three. I'll sell it for five. I'll buy another one for five. I'll sell it for seven. And I thought I could just ladder my way up. And then I realized selling $3,000 cars is a piece of cake.
Yeah.
And so I never graduated
above
that.
Everyone has $3,000. Not everyone has 15.
Right.
You know what
I
mean?
And so I would buy them for under two, fully invested, and I would sell them for three.
Yeah.
And I made $7,000 selling those cars.
Yeah.
So, and I got some funny fucking stories with that too. One, I went back to that auction and I bought a handicap van, a Ford Econoline that had been converted to a handicap van.
Okay.
Had a wheelchair ramp and everything in it. And
I've never heard this story.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Oh man.
Let's start.
I'll send Austin the photos of it. So I bought a handicap van and again, you can't drive them.
I'm intrigued.
And
why can't you drive them?
The way this auction where you can start it and run it, but you can't drive it.
I got you. I thought you meant like you couldn't drive the van.
No.
Later. Okay.
No. And so it said it has a slight vibration, maybe a wheel out of balance, right? So I'm like, all right, whatever. I bought this handicap van for $1,000. And I'm like, I might not even sell this. I might find a needy family with a wheelchair kid that needs a handicap van and just give it to them.
Yeah.
Right. The fucker caught on fire on the way home. Like, the vibration. I'm not kidding you. The thing literally caught fire. The vibration that they were referring to in the description was the rear yoke seal and rear yoke bearing out of the back of the transmission
shot. Oh, shit.
So it lost all of its transmission fluid on the drive home. And the transmission got so hot, started smoking like
crazy. Was there no lights coming on?
Well, I mean,
I'm just driving
$1,000 van.
I'm just driving it. I'm gonna set this bitch on fire. I don't give a fuck.
What's the matter with you, man?
If you've ever driven in a Ford Econoline van, like half the engine's at your feet,
Yeah.
And the transmission's like almost behind you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and so loud as
there's
fuck.
A big like doghouse next to you that's got the engine and transmission.
Did you have your hand
it?
On it? You're like, man, this is hot.
It was
it's
hot.
Fine. It's fine. I'm going to keep driving it.
It burned my leg. Like, it got so hot. I finally pulled, like, I'm in rush hour traffic. It's like 98 degrees. I'm having to push the gas super hard. It's not going anywhere. And finally, I'm just like, screw it. I'm just going to burn this thing up. And so I pull it over to the side of the road and like floor it in first, and it won't go anywhere. It's like done. Toast. So I call a tow truck. They tow it to a shop. Like, the transmission is gone, and you buy these things as is, where is.
Yeah.
And so, I believe it or not, I was actually able to talk them into taking the van back and giving me my money back simply because it was misadvertised. Like, they never indicate, like, they said possible wheel bearing, and I'm like, come on, you pulled the wool over my eyes. Like, possible wheel bearing, bad transmission, two totally different things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not accusing you of it. Like, maybe you didn't know, but this is part of the risk you take trying to sell these. Like,
yeah,
if I can't even make it 18 miles home, that's a problem. And so thankfully they worked with me and they gave me my money back.
Did you tell them you had a handicapped kid? Thanks a lot.
No.
You motherfuckers.
But it sat in my driveway for a couple of days before they came and picked it up. And so my neighborhood kids had a whole lot of fun playing with a handicap ramp and everything.
Oh my God.
But yeah.
Like, you know, you probably could have put a transmission in that and still made money.
Maybe.
Like, that conversion is expensive.
Yeah.
It's very expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. It was not cheap.
No.
It was not cheap at
no.
all. No. So, but like, there's, I was,
I love
I
how
stop
this
at,
has turned into Mitch's used car lot show.
Yeah. Well, I would
Welcome
stop
to
at
Mitch's.
Nothing, right? Wrapping vehicles, flipping cars, finishing the basements, home equity line of credit, like.
Yeah, banging old ladies, whatever, for money.
I never did that.
For money?
That's only because she had 16 acres of prime hunting ground that's never been hunted. No, I'm kidding.
I do whatever I gotta do. Yeah. Fucking hunting. Speaking of completely off topic, hunting season's right around the corner, buddy.
Yeah, I know. I'm waiting to get the call from the taxidermist.
Oh, yeah,
it's
that's
been
right.
a minute.
I put a food plot in today. 4 hours out in the sun.
Ooh,
it's ready to
you.
Go. It's ready to go, baby. I'm excited.
I just need some rain.
It's supposed to rain tonight and then like all week.
Cool.
Till Friday.
So
maybe I'll be able to take your boys. I put that double stand up.
If you guys have any other questions about like startup capital, or if you have ideas and you want to run them by us, shoot us an email.
Yeah.
Mitch.
We will read them.
Yeah.
And post them.
We always read them. AskMitch@MitchSmedley.com is one email. Another email is Mitch@TradeWinsConsulting.com.
That's true.
And that's WINS, no D.
We need a banner up here.
Yeah. You can also email David@TradeWinsConsulting.com.
Or GuyOnTheLeft.
GuyOnTheLeft.
It won't come through. But
you can also find us on social media. I'm Mitch Smedley with the blue check. David is Hilton David.
I don't have a blue check.
He does not have a blue check.
Because I don't care.
Well, you don't have as much going on social media-wise
no,
as
Mitch
I do.
Mitch yells at me every week.
Yeah.
Get your shit together, Dave.
Ironically, I was just helping somebody through a Facebook problem. And they don't have a blue check. And I'm like, buy the blue check and you'll get the problem fixed super fast. Because when you have the blue check, you get a real agent customer service person. Like they'll frizz you. You start with a
they'll
text
move
message
mountains to get in there. Yeah.
They'll call you and they'll solve it over the phone with you on the phone. I've done this 3 times with them now. So
are you doing that work through TradeWinds?
What's that?
Are you billing those people you're helping?
No.
Why not?
Soon you'll get to the point.
We just had a whole episode about doing whatever it takes to raise money. Come on, dog.
Yeah.
It's going to be so great to be like, literally, if I open my mouth, like you're going to get paid. You have to pay
me
$1,000.
Right.
Where's my money?
Well, and there's other moves and stuff that I'm currently doing now that are lily pad moves for future investments and future endeavors, right? And so it never changes. It never stops. I mean,
no, it does.
You're constantly growing this fund so that you can sell it off and either enjoy it as a family or use it for another investment. And they all run their cycle.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I ran the vehicle vinyl wrapping cycle, and then I ran the vehicle flipping cycle, the buying and selling cars. I mean, shit, that's how I got my Danger Ranger. I bought my Danger Ranger for $1,100.
You know, I was thinking that thing was white, not blue.
It was blue. Yep. I bought it for $1,100.
Wasn't it a 5-speed too?
No, it was automatic. The guy said the speedometer doesn't work, the odometer doesn't work, and the transmission doesn't shift. And so I'm like, like, I bought the Danger Ranger because I was going to drive it.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, I'll spend $1,100 on it, and I'm going to take a risk, and maybe I'll get it up and running, and I'll have a good driving car.
Fuse was out.
Come to find out, all it needed was a $27 speed sensor that plugs into the rear differential.
Yeah.
That runs the odometer, the speedometer, and it tells the transmission when to shift. So for $1,127, I had a perfectly functioning Ford Ranger that didn't have AC.
That was
the only thing it didn't work.
$4,500.
I listed it for sale for $3,500. I had 100 inquiries in about 15 minutes. I should have probably pulled the ad down.
$4,500.
Yeah, relisted it, but instead I just sold it to the first guy that came with cash. And
you didn't care. You still made money.
$3,500.
He was happy. You were happy. Who cares?
And a point you're making too is like you didn't let these side hustles just drag you like months and months and months. It was like you get in, make your money. Because I feel like that's people, they get caught up with side gigs. It's like that becomes like 3 years later or something, and they're still...
Well, like the biggest failure of a side gig is like, and this isn't a knock on ladies, it's just the easiest side gig for ladies to do is they go buy like a Cricut machine and they think they're going to make t-shirts. Well, the problem is the market is way saturated with that, and there's 14,000 other ladies making t-shirts. And so it's very difficult to gain traction in that area.
Yeah, and you would have to like list absurd t-shirts.
Well,
things we can't advertise t-shirts.
Either
like
that.
Like you'd have to have a niche.
Either that or you have an in, right? Like maybe you're the chairman of the board at the local sports league. And so now you get to make all the t-shirts for all the sports kids.
Yeah.
So now automatically you got 300 t-shirts a year or 300 t-shirts a season.
Yeah.
Under lock and key. Like that would be a little bit different. But to think you're just a stay-at-home mom or stay-at-home dad and you're going to go get a Cricut machine and heat press some t-shirts and it become a thriving side gig, there's just the market's way too saturated for stuff like that.
I thought about getting one just so that I could make my own obscene shirts and wear them.
Right.
Like that would be fun.
Right.
Like I got money to burn sometimes.
Yeah.
Like that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Like I could just start wearing different shirts in here on Thursday.
Yep.
Mitch eats ass. Like so, just
really like, guy that started a business wearing other companies' logos. Like he wore like a company logo a day.
Yeah. Just random money. Shirts.
Yeah.
Just the most random shit ever.
So essentially there's no shortage of things that you can do for side gigs.
And then I'll sell them on tradewindsconsulting.com.
There you go. Make some money.
Dave Warren shirts.
Dave Warren.
I'll wash them.
I'll give you a dollar.
Hey, a dollar over cost, I'll take it.
There's a hole in this part because Dave was welding. Didn't wear protection.
That's where Dave stabbed himself in the leg, skinning a deer.
Dude, first off, those pants do have a hole in them, and I have 50 shirts that have fucking burn welds in them. I'm like, I'll just weld this real quick. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'm leaned over. There's seven holes in the back. Yeah.
Yep.
I've done it.
All right. So that's going to wrap it up for this show. This kind of went long, but that's all right.
Who cares?
If you guys have any questions about raising startup capital, let us know. Next week, I think we're going to talk about some social media stuff, like how to differentiate between personal and business on social media and how to gain traction there. So tune in next week for that. And until next week, guys, we will see you later.
Shut it down.